Hey friends, happy Friday. Hope you're having a good day wherever you are at. This is my weekly Q&A session. Hey, a big shout out to all of our ministry school students and those who've submitted questions. So in a moment, we're gonna do five. I'm gonna try to do 3 minute questions. You can check. No. So we're gonna do some really quick rapid fire questions all about finding your purpose, your calling, and your identity in the Lord. Let me do a few quick housekeeping things, including drinking coffee. Before then, firstly, if you're new to my YouTube channel, welcome, or my ministry. I am a British American living here, based in New England in the US, but in Europe several months a year, doing ministry there. Group of churches here in New England, online ministry school, traveling ministry, and love Jesus. That's the main one. So consider hitting the subscribe button on our YouTube channel if you're watching there, or subscribe to our daily audio podcast. You can sign up for our email newsletter. We'll be going out later today, including some book reviews, books I am reading, and travel news, lots of goodies and things like that. Let me mention lastly as well, I have an online ministry school with lots of different courses, but actually a live mentoring session we do once a month, and really encourage you to check that out. There's a small cost to join that, but we started a bursary scheme as well, where some of our partners are sponsoring people, you know, from developing nations, things like that. So don't let finance be a reason not to join that conversation there. Good. Great. This weekend, I'm going to be preaching here in Sturbridge. Let me quickly go over the next week. I'll be here in Sturbridge Sunday morning, Norwalk, Connecticut, in Sunday afternoon on Thursday of next week. Actually, Wednesday, we're doing a faith seminar here in Sturbridge. Thursday, I'll be in New Canaan, Connecticut. Friday in Brattleboro, Vermont. This is next week. Saturday, I have my ministry school Zoom session. Sunday, I'll be in Sturbridge and Norwalk, and then Monday, I fly to Ireland for a week's ministry in the nation of Ireland. So busy month in the month of March. Hope to see some of you in the plan of God. Good. So let's begin. The questions this week are really all about finding our calling, purpose, mission, and identity. So I have five questions on this. The first one is, how can I find my mission and purpose in life? And that's a good question. To be honest, I've never struggled with that personally, because really from an early age, I think actually from the day I was born again, I always knew that instinctively. And I have this sneaky suspicion, and I could be wrong, but I actually think you do too. I think in a way we fall into error when we separate our calling in terms of call to salvation, called into fellowship with God, from our calling as in call to preach or teach, or call to start a business, call. I think God calls you. And I don't actually see this separation into, I think God calls you. He calls you out of darkness into light. He calls you into fellowship with Him. He calls you out of sin into righteousness. And I believe in a sense, you'll never really find your calling in that classical sense, you know, be a pastor, start an orphanage, you know, be a mom, business, whatever. You won't really find that until you find that calling in terms of an identity in a relationship with God. Yeah? You were called. Paul talks about that in Romans 8. It's one of those, probably the most misquoted verse in the Bible. It says, all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. And then it says, whom He foreknew, whom He called, He I was misquoting it, but let me read it accurately. Romans 8:29, whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Jesus used to be the only begotten Son of God. He's now the firstborn amongst many brethren. And the primary call of God on your life is to be conformed into the image of His Son. So how do you find your call? I would actually say spend a lot of time in relationship with the Lord, be in His presence. When, like Isaiah, you spend a lot of time in God's presence, out of the overflow of fellowship and intimacy from the throne room, Isaiah, I'm a Brit. No, I'm an American. Isaiah. Isaiah comes in, and of course, his first thing is the fear of the Lord. Woe. His second thing is dealing with the sin in his life. You know, coal from the altar. For us, it's the blood of Jesus, thank God. But afterwards, out of that place of holiness of worship, there's a here am I, send me. So rather than fill out some silly form and have some computer AI thing tell you what your call is, I would say press more into your real call, which is to abide, to rest, to remain, to stay in Jesus. And then from the overflow of that call, you'll hear that mission, that here am I, send me. Boom. Question number two today was, can I have several callings? I mean, yes and no. Again, if you go back to my first question, I think if we actually look at our call as primarily the call, the appel, we'd say in French, like the calling of God to be in fellowship with Him, to be planted in His family. You know, there are things I want my kids to do. There are tasks and missions they have to, you know, clean the dishwasher or stick the dishwasher, empty the dishwasher, those things. My youngest son has to shovel the snow at times and, you know, different roles and tasks and things like that as part of a family. But the call is to be part of a family. So I would say we have one calling relationally to abide in Jesus. But yes, we will then be called to do many things. But I would, a little caution in there, I would say most of the things we're called to do are really like branches of a tree. There's that central thing, but my point is they all relate to each other. And I think it's really important that we look at them through that lens, that I am really called to, I'm called to live by faith, and I'm called to teach others to live by faith. That's a really basic calling on my life. And at times I'm functioning like a pastor or a senior leader of several churches or a visitor, like a sort of apostolic voice in other churches I may visit. There's different things I do, you know, media, I'm doing more of what I'm doing now. God's told me about writing, something that I'm actually behind the curve in stepping into. But all of those things are really just branches of that same call. They're expressions, if you will, of that same thing. And I think we can actually fall into error when we confuse our means with our mission. When we, you know, there's a guy I'm thinking of who's an amazing ministry in Ireland, but who really got into PowerPoint in the 1990s and, you know, producing video cassettes and all that. But if he actually realized God called him to be a voice and, as Kenneth Copeland would say, to use every available media, the guy's still trying to produce video cassettes and nobody uses video cassettes anymore. So we shouldn't confuse the means with the calling. But I think, yes, you can have lots of different branches for your call, but I think they've got to be resumed in one central thing. In a way, your call and your identity have got to be linked and locked, and you don't want to have more than one identity. That's a pathology. You may need ministry and deliverance if you have more than one identity. So find that central identity, and there will be many expressions that can change over time and circumstances within that calling. I hope that makes sense. Pause for a drink. So question number three, thank you, Brian. Excuse me, Brian, for sending this one. What if other people do not recognize my calling? You know, my experience, this is going to happen to everybody, probably. And that's okay. Everybody is going to walk through a season where people don't recognize your calling. I actually have this theory, I'm kind of goofing around it. I think at times God will even blind people to our callings. God will put the blinkers and the blinders above them. I think what most of us will do, I would say, in the plan of God, is we'll go through a season where nobody recognizes our calling except ourselves. And we're called to press into relationship with God. And we don't find the safety, the succor, the comfort of other people coming along, patting us on the shoulder, saying, man, you really are called or whatever. And it's like we've really got to lean into Jesus because it's all we have. And there will be a season, and that's a massive season of growth, but it's kind of like the growth of the plant, putting the roots down into the ground rather than the visible growth. And there will be a season when nobody sees your calling. And only you need to believe in it. There's often a season, this is actually the more dangerous one, where so to speak, everybody sees our calling And the real danger there is we feel affirmed in our calling because everybody sees our calling. And when everybody sees your calling and pats you on the back and says, this is great, that's actually the time to come back and press into Christ Jesus and not build your calling on the fact that other people like it and popular. You know, if you're called to do something, if you're called to be a pastor, it doesn't mean that a million people need to attend your church for you to call to be a pastor. Remember hearing Creflo Dollar speak about opening a church and just preaching and nobody came, and preaching the next week and nobody came. And he's like, I'm not doing this because people are coming. I'm doing this because God called me to do it. And that's a really vital thing. So I would say if nobody recognizes your calling, don't be discouraged. Everybody goes from that, but press into Jesus. But I would say as you operate within that calling, even just at a low level, your calling should begin to bear fruit. And if somebody tells me they're called to do something, and just over years and years and years, there's never any recognition of that, I would question, could they have missed it? Do they have the humility to recognize that maybe God didn't call them to do this? Yeah. Last thought on this one as well. I think so often when we say nobody recognizes our calling, what we can often be saying is nobody's giving me a position or a acknowledgement in this calling or whatever, and that's a different thing. You see, if you're called to be an evangelist, go win souls. Whether somebody gives you a certificate or a badge, you know, Graham the Evangelist, or a business card or a website is sort of irrelevant. That doesn't make you an evangelist. It doesn't add or subtract anything. If you're an evangelist, you're going to win souls. If you're a dog, you're going to bark. If you're a pastor, you're going to shepherd people and love people and care for people and take care. If you're a teacher, you're going to find an outlet to teach somebody. It's not because the peripheral exteriors that people put on things that give us our calling. So I would say somebody doesn't recognize your call. That's okay. Does God recognize your call? Then step into it at a low level. Step into it without looking for position recognition. And sooner or later, people will. Boom. Question number four, what if there are no opportunities for me to step into my calling? Again, it's a good question. It's one people often ask in this, this kind of subject, this framework, but it's really a misnomer. I don't know of any calling I can think of. Maybe you can help me with this one. I don't know of any calling that you can't step into right now. Again, I think the challenge is we often see the kind of the benefit package of that calling. So if somebody came to me and said, I'm called to be a pastor and nobody's given me a church, a pulpit, a salary, a car, healthcare, I don't have healthcare, you know, like a badge, a certificate, an office, all of these things, I'm going to go, that's kind of irrelevant. None of those things make you a pastor. Go pastor people, go love people, go care for people, go do the thing you're called to do. And I think all of us can do those things right now. I think you can do whatever you're called to do right now. The challenge is we've got to do it in a small way. We've got to do it in humility. We've got to do it without looking for recognition. And I believe it will grow if God has gifted and called you into that place. I would also say this, and this is a massive downfall in people's life. If there's one of the biggest challenges I see in people stepping into the callings, it would be this one. So I would advise anybody who's called to do something and they say, oh man, I'm not seeing, I don't know how to move forward. I would say go and be mentored by somebody else who to some degree is doing what you are called to do. And I have seen this. I get really frustrated when I see this. I feel I've seen this 10,000 times. I see people with a call of God on their life, but they're trying to move forward in a way that makes sense to them. It would be like somebody saying, I'm called to be a doctor. So I've decided how to educate myself to be a doctor. I'm going online and I'm reading this book and that book, and I'm going to self-qualify. And then they get frustrated that no state will certify them as a doctor. And I can see a lot of people in ministry and they never ever go to somebody and say, how can I move forward? What are the things I need to let go of in my life? What are the character things? What do I need to learn? How can I practice? How can I grow in this area? They're trying to be their own, both the mentor and the mentee. And everybody kind of pats them on the shoulder and go, yeah, that's Gertrude, whoever. That's Phyllis. That's here. No. Phyllis is awesome. You know, that's this person. Yeah, they've got a call on their life, but they're not ready yet. and they spend the whole life being not ready. And at times I'll do the funerals of people who had a great call, but they just weren't ready because they won't humble themselves and learn. So if you don't see an opportunity, ask God for the right people to mentor you, but go and learn in humility. And often the very people, here's what I found in my life, the very people who will end, who will mentor us and speak to us, both in an encouraging way and in a correcting way, become the very person who wants to open the door. They become the open door. And if we hadn't, as it were, sat at their feet and drank from their advice, to mix my metaphors, we wouldn't then have had the open door that followed that one. Boom. Question number, set this question number 5 today. Does my calling change over time? In a sense, I've already addressed this one, but no, I don't believe so. Again, if your calling, your primary calling is to be in Christ Jesus, to abide in him, to be transformed into the image of his son, and then to show the world what the image of his son really is, that all of us have that calling. So if your calling is relational, your calling is to abide in Jesus, that's never going to change over time. I think for most of us, the Lord gives us a key mission, a key theme, a key something, a key flavor, a key perfume, a key something to release to the body of Christ. Now, what changes over time is the measure to which our calling is seen and the influence in which it has. There's often, as we've said, a season where nobody seems to see your calling, or you're at the baby stage of your calling. There's often a season, a bit like in the business world, where it can seem you're at the peak of your calling. There's often, and I think we do a poor job of talking about this and processing this in the body of Christ. There's often a season later in life, that kind of senior season, where it seems that people begin losing their calling or diminishing their calling or they're less in demand. And I don't think that's God's plan. I think the Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is like the shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So what will often happen though is we're putting the world's measure and metric upon, let's say, an older person and comparing them with somebody younger. I think in one sense, I believe God wants us to have more and more influence throughout all of our life. And, I believe should the Lord, you know, in God's grace and God's willingness, that we can have more influence when we're no longer here. There are people who are having more influence for the kingdom of God on planet Earth right now, even though they've been dead 100 years, than they ever had before they were alive. He being dead yet speaks. I remember there's an E.W. Kenyon book, and I can't remember which one, but he literally says at the end of it, when I'm dead and gone, these words, people will be printing these books and they'll be flying all over the world. And I don't think E.W. Kenyon could have thought about Kindle or, you know, YouTube. People put his books on YouTube as audiobooks now, or all kind of means. And there's probably things that you and I can't even think, I hasn't seen years and can. But if you will, the life somebody lived, we can have more and more and more influence. So does your calling change over time? No, but the expression of your calling, the amplitude of your calling, the platform, the means, yes, they should change. And I think we've got to be okay with that. I think ideally what we should be doing is holding core the message, the mission, the call God's given us over life. But what we should be doing is always living in the now. We should be learning from the wisdom of the past, living in the now season, but actually looking ahead and saying, Lord, what are the means that you want me to be stepping into in the next season and the season after that and the season after that? There was a season a few years ago. I'll give you a tale of two cities. There's a season the Lord told me to stop making daily videos. And I don't want to do that. Nobody's going to watch them. And it's not the point. You know, I've had some videos that people have watched over a million times now, and others, you know, 20 or 30 views, and it's not the point. But actually the fact of doing this every day, of sitting in a room talking into a camera, you do actually improve over time. Your skill set, your knowledge, your own capacity to do that improves over time. And I think the Lord can be saying things to us now which will relate to future calls we have and things that we can do maybe in 5, 10, 20, 50 years' time. And we should be pulling prophetically on his wisdom and saying, how will my call change over time? And how will I not get lost? How will I not be the guy making video cassettes when I really need YouTube videos or whatever that will be in the future? Some wisdom there. Sila, boom. Thank you for watching, guys. I come back every Friday with a Q&A session here, and we put out some individual ones during the week. Again, encourage you to hit that subscribe button, check out the links below, and do consider signing up for our ministry mentoring group that is meeting next week. I believe 8 a.m., I want to say Saturday, March the 4th, we will be talking about some of these things and giving people, you know, input and personal Q&A in these things as well. So thank you for watching this far. I'll have another video out later today all about what is identity and identity, purpose, and mission as well. It's going to be great. Have a great day, guys. Bye for now.